ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। भगवते वासुदेवाय। यो नु स्मरेत रामस्य कर्माण्यद्भुतकर्मणः सायं प्रातरन्तस्य विष्णो सद्दयितो भवेत्। यो नु स्मरेत रामस्य कर्माण्यद्भुतकर्मणः सायं प्रातरन्तस्य विष्णो सदयितो भवेत्। यो नु स्मरेत रामस्य कर्माण्यद्भुतकर्मणः सायं प्रातरनन्तस्य विष्णो सदयितो भवेत्। What is this? Whoever anusmareta, regularly remembers Ramasya of Lord Balaram, karmani, the activities, adbhuta, amazing, karmanaha, all of whose activities, sayam, at dusk, pratah, at dawn, anantasya, who is unlimited, Vishnu, the Supreme Lord, saha, he, daitah, dear, bhavet, becomes. Translation: all the activities of the unlimited Lord Balaram are amazing. Anyone who regularly remembers them at dawn and dusk will become very dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Vishnu. Purport. Srila Prabhupada writes, Lord Balaram is the original Vishnu. Therefore, anyone remembering these pastimes of Lord Balaram in the morning and evening will certainly become a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus his life will become successful in all respects. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So I, on behalf of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple, would like to welcome all of you for today's most auspicious event of Sri Balaram Jayanti. Today is a full moon day called Shravan Purnima, very famous in India for various reasons. And Gaudiya Vaishnavas celebrate throughout the day, remembering the pastimes of Lord Balaram, remembering his importance in our life. So we are very grateful to all of you for being here and giving your auspicious association to all of us. Today we are reading from this chapter entitled Lord Balaram Goes to Pilgrimage. This is the last, after all the activities of Lord Balaram are described, there is a benediction given. So, we should know the benediction beforehand. So, the benediction says here that all the activities of the unlimited Lord Balaram are amazing. Anyone who regularly remembers them at dawn and dusk, that means in the morning and evening. Today we are fortunate that today morning we will hear this. Again in the evening, Shyamananda Prabhu will tell us very wonderful pastimes of Lord Balaram in his own unique style. And one who does this is very, very emphatically going to be a wonderful devotee of the Supreme Lord Sri Vishnu. And his life will be successful in all respects. That is what Srila Prabhupada is saying. So, for me, I am just talking to myself. All of you are sitting in front of me, many senior devotees here, Srila Prabhupada disciples here. So please, I request you to bless me that I can speak something in the glorification of Lord Balaram. Trying to understand Lord Balaram and his glories is impossible for a tiny intelligence of human beings. Lochandas Thakur, he describes this. Typical example he gives that you may be a small bird or even if you are a Garuda. You may go as high as possible in the sky, but you will never find the limits of the sky. Nonetheless, you should still go and try. Same way, the ocean, no matter how expert swimmer you are, keep on swimming, but you will never find the end of ocean. But nonetheless, we need to try. For our own purification, with our limited understanding, intelligence, we will try this endeavor of glorification of Lord Balaram. And the best way to do is, because the Supreme Lord is called as Achintya, one of his name is Achintya. That means you cannot really conceive who he is, what he is, how great he is. All those things are simply beyond our tiny intelligence. Even the greatest scientists, logicians, mathematicians, they may try their best to even understand this material universe. Forget about the spiritual universe. Even the material universe is impossible to understand. So what to speak of something which is totally spiritual? Lord Balaram, he has a form. At the same time, he is limitless. So how do you understand? Limitless and has a form. Intelligence generally, you know, we try to understand something as a form, that means it has a shape, size, you can measure it. But as soon as you say that this is limitless, then how can you have form? So a natural conclusion for trying to understand intellectually what is the spiritual realm is that this must be something which is very impersonal, which is beyond, limitless, beyond the mind and intelligence. But then when we take shelter of acharyas, like Lord Brahma, he is very clear. Ishvara Paramas Krishna Sarvakara, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adira Govinda Sarvakarana Karana. So he is saying, Krishna is the Supreme Lord, Lord of the Lords, the cause of all causes, and yet he has a form, Vigraha, which is Satchidananda. And Balaram is the first expansion of Lord Shri Krishna. Obviously, you know all these things, we have heard all these things. But nonetheless, we will try to go deeper in these aspects. When we say first expansion, that means immediately we have a chronological order. But actually, there is no chronological order. They are simultaneously existing. They are eternal. Even all of us, we are eternal. We are Sanatan. So just for our understanding, grasping power, it is defined in this way, that he is the first expansion of Lord Shri Krishna. So, Krishna, who is Sarva Karana Karanam, Anadir Adir, he is the father of all living entities, and Balaram is same as him. Prabhupada would say that Balaram is white Krishna, that's all. There is no difference. The difference is only in the mood. Krishna is always in the mood of enjoying. He is a supreme enjoyer. And that same supreme enjoyer as Balaram, he takes the form so that he can assist him in that enjoyment. So Balaram is the original assistant of Lord Shri Krishna in a way that will enhance his enjoyment. So what is devotional service? We are all sadhakas, we are bhaktas. Our whole aim of life is prema pumartho mahan, to develop love for Sri Krishna. who is the greatest supreme personality of Godhead. So while doing that, we have to understand we are tiny living entities, insignificant, and our identity is that we are eternally the servant of Lord Shri Krishna. So he is the supreme enjoyer, we are the servants. What is our job? To assist him in his enjoyment. So when we are doing this, we don't know how to do it. He is the supreme, he is the greatest, we are insignificant. So we need a medium. And that is provided by Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram gives us the parampara system. He is the Adi Guru. So as Adi Guru, he is giving his knowledge of how to serve Krishna in different ways. And therefore, the strength for all of us, the bala, the spiritual strength, Srila Prabhupada says, is coming from Lord Balaram. So today is the day when we actually become prayerful in our mood. This is Madhava Tithi. These Tithis are called as Madhava Tithi. Madhava Tithi Bhakti Janani. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is defining it. That all these Madhava Tithis, the Tithis or the dates which are for Krishna, the Supreme Person of Godhead. Ekadashi, Janmashtami, Balaram Jayanti, Ram Navami. These are all Madhava Tithis. Madhava Tithi Bhakti Janani. They are actually the mother of devotion. So today is the day when we can pray for the birth of bhakti in our heart by observing this day very, very carefully. With complete absorption in the pastimes, glories of Lord Balaram. The bala which we require as devotees is required in various forms. When we come to Krishna consciousness in the beginning, everything seems very easy. When we chant Hare Krishna and we are talking to somebody, very innocently we say, I just can't give up chanting. We are so enthused at that time that we are actually propagating. It's very nice. The face is beaming with happiness and we are telling people, just can't give up chanting. You try it. And then we come to the temple and see all the devotees dancing, happy, looking at the deities, taking that wonderful prasad. So everything is such a happy thing. It's wonderful. The philosophy, every time you hear a new class, you get to know something new. It's very exciting. It's a new journey. And we have a feeling of almost conquering the world. We have a new aim in life. Because most of the people, even today if you go and ask, what is the goal in your life? They are generally confused. They might give you some tiny goal, but what after that? So somebody who finds a goal in life is a happy person. He's a great personality. And what about that supreme goal? Prema Pumartha Mahan. If somebody has found that goal, how happy he is. So we are in that happy state of Krishna consciousness right in the beginning. It's a very wonderful feeling. Every devotee appears to be like a pure devotee. As soon as you see him, you feel, wow, I made this devotee today. What a effulgent face. What a command on the scriptures. Like that. We feel like being servant of everyone. But then as the years go by, we start feeling that this chanting is bothersome. How to chant these 16 rounds, somehow or other. It's a struggle. It's a daily struggle. And particularly if you have lost good association, then it's a maha struggle. It's impossible. When you are in the temple atmosphere, anyone who lives in this temple will immediately agree with me that when you are in the temple, maya seems to be nothing. Now you are like, maya? What's maya? Because you are so much in the association of devotees, you are in that continuous, you can say, nectarian flow of devotion throughout the day, throughout the night. Every day is an exciting day, new projects, Harinam Sankirtan, festival, something is coming up. Very exciting. So you don't even have time to think, what is maya? And then people come and ask. I remember when I became a devotee, then, you know, some people would come and ask me, "Are, Prabhuji, I am in maya." And my answer would be, "Don't be in maya, what's the problem?" Because it appeared so simple. If maya mein ho, to maya se bahar aa jao. Usme kya problem hai? But this is only because when we have that strength, the collective strength of the association of devotees, the strength of Balaram is coming to us. The most powerful person. His strength is coming to us through the Guru Parampara, through the association of the wonderful Vaishnavas. And then Krishna himself is saying, Daivihi esha mam gunamai mam maya durataya. This maya shakti is very, very powerful. And no one can overcome but those who have taken shelter of me through this parampara system. For them, it doesn't mean anything. But when we see that somehow, for various reasons, as the years go by, the same devotional service can become very tasteless. The way you are dancing previously, where you are happy seeing, say, Adi Keshav Prabhu dancing or Gaurang Priya Prabhu dancing, you don't feel any pleasure now. Really? Wow! Who is this person dancing? I want to dance like him. But suddenly, you are at the back of the dancing room. You are at the back. Oh, no one should pull me. No one should look at me. Why this taste has gone? Various reasons are explained. And today is the day we should look at all these things. Because Balaram can give us the strength to come out of all this nonsense. It's a glani. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bhagata. So in our heart, a glani has come. So we have to invite Krishna. Krishna has to appear. Krishna appears, but before Krishna, Balaram has to appear. So what kind of things we do which make our wonderful devotional service, which was so sweet, nectar-like, suddenly becomes tasteless. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives us various reasons. And I'm going to read them. He gives mainly four reasons why we become so mechanical in our devotional service, why we lose the taste for devotion. The first reason he gives is called as Tattva Vibhram. That means suddenly we start getting doubts about the whole principle, the whole philosophy about Krishna consciousness. Is Krishna really the Supreme Lord? Is he incarnation of Vishnu or Vishnu is incarnation of him? Various things will slowly start creeping up. If it is said that just by chanting one holy name, Krishna's one holy name, can eradicate all the sins which you have committed? And all the sins which you can commit in the future. Imagine the power. It is stated in the scriptures. But then we say, you mean to say, after 20 years of chanting, ek bar bhi mera ek Krishna bhi nikla nahi hoga jo offenseless hoga. And I am still suffering. Doubts in the scriptures. doubts in our association. Association में रहने से अपराध हो जाता है. When you closely associate with devotees, it creates apraad. Better not to be in the association. Crazy philosophy. And you actually accept it that I know now how to be offenseless. Devotee के साथ नहीं रहने का. Offenseless means be without devotees. What will happen? Then I have no offense. I will chant Hare Krishna and only Krishna and me. Crazy philosophy again. We have no understanding of Krishna. It is only by the mercy of Parampara system, the devotees, then we can probably have some glimpse of who Krishna is. So like this, many doubts in our own process of devotional service. Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya, people say they are just saintly personalities. Are they really supreme lords? I have heard in India, historians record them as great devotees of the Lord. These doubts will come. But there is a method. King Prataprudra, when he came from Katak to Puri, he heard that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has become a Vaishnava. It was a great news. Because he was a logician, he was a Mayavadi, very powerful person. He had many Mayavadi sannyasis as his disciples. He would give sannyas to people, even though he was a grihastha. Very powerful. So suddenly the news, because it was a very powerful news, went to the king that Bhattacharya has become a Vaishnava. So he called Bhattacharya. And he said, I have heard that the great sannyasi has come to Puri. So Bhattacharya said, yes, his name is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And now he has gone to South India. So King Prataprudra was very unhappy. He said, what did you allow him to go? He should have begged, somehow made arrangement that he could stay here in Puri. That time, Bhattacharya says, actually I tried my best. I didn't want him to go. I was crying. I fell unconscious when he went. But he is the independent supreme personality of Godhead. So who can stop him? No one could stop him. As soon as Prataprudra heard this, he said, if you are saying that he is the independent supreme personality of Godhead, then I accept it. Why? Because you are such an exalted personality. You have knowledge of all the scriptures. So this is the process of understanding Krishna, supremacy of Krishna, is always through those who have realized this knowledge. With our tiny intelligence, we cannot understand who is Krishna, who is Balaram. So therefore, Tattva Vibhram means also to depend on our own intelligence to actually understand Krishna, without understanding the limitation of our intelligence. So this is the first reason why our test from devotional service goes away. The second reason Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives is called as Asat Trishna. Asat Trishna. Trishna means thirst. And Asat means temporary. So because now there is a doubt about the Supreme Lord, the supremacy of the Lord, and we are born in this world because we have that envious nature towards the Lord, we want to become the competitor Lord, we want to become envious of the Lord, therefore we reject Him and we find ways and means to justify why we reject Him. So as soon as internally there is a doubt about supremacy of the Lord, the relationship between Lord and us, immediately the original problem of being the enjoyer comes up into the heart. And then we start looking at Asat Trishna. We give up satsanga and we go to the asat sangha. So asat Krishna means attachment, or you can say longing for that which is very temporary. This is categorized into three again. The categorization is like bhukti, mukti and siddhi. Asat Krishna is of three types: bhukti, mukti and siddhi. So bhukti means I just want to enjoy my senses. In this also worldly pleasures and heavenly pleasures. Some people may do a lot of religious activities and do a lot of austerity in this world just so that they can go to a higher planetary system and enjoy million times more than the earthly planet. That is also bhukti. And then the siddhi, we want some mystic powers. Anima, Lagima, Prapta Siddhi, various Siddhis, so that you can show your prowess and you go to Siddha Loka. And then there is a third one, that is Mukti. That means you just want, you are happy if you are not suffering. Mukti is nothing but, I don't want suffering. But Bhakti is beyond Bhukti, Mukti and Siddhi. Mukti is also not a favorable thing for bhakti. It may appear very religious and spiritual, but bhakti is you don't care whether you suffer. That's bhakti. Bhakti is so amazing that even if you suffer, you don't care if you are suffering. We hear all these great acharyas, great personalities, devotees, they pray like that. Prahlad Maharaj is praying that I will be happy even in a hellish situation because I always remember you, O Lord. So therefore I request you that let all the sins of all the people of this material world come on my head so that they can take up Krishna consciousness and they need not suffer. Let me suffer for them. Why? Because actually there is no suffering for him. This is amazing. Kunti Maharani, she is praying, let the calamities come again and again and again. Because when there are calamities there, I remember you. And as soon as I remember you, everything is perfect. We cannot imitate these prayers. We should pray according to our own situation. Wherever we are, we should try to pray from that platform. And repeat these prayers. By repetition of these prayers, we get purified. So Asat Krishna is actually taking us away from Krishna by making us enjoyers. And the third one is called as the Hridaya Daurbalyam. That means weakness of heart. Hridaya is heart. Daurbalyam means weakness. Prabhupada gives in many purports that a devotee does not progress in Krishna consciousness because of weakness of heart. In various purports you will see this, that he is focusing on this weakness of heart. And in this Hridaya Darbalyam, there are two things. One is that because of weakness of heart, we start developing attachment. Or we already have those attachments and we cling on to those attachments. Attachments unrelated to Krishna. Those things which actually don't relate to Krishna, we still have a lot of attachment for them. This is a weakness of heart. And another form of weakness of heart, Prabhupada Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, is that we give in to envy. We become envious of others. We become deceitful. Our behavior becomes very hypocritic. And we start finding faults. So this is all due to weakness of heart. And this also is one of the big obstacles on the path of devotion. And the last one, he says, is the Nama Parad. Of course, we every day morning we recite the 10 offenses against the holy name. But again, if we are not careful, that even though we recite, we just recite. Padma Puran tells 10 offenses against the holy name. So we recite them every day, but we don't mean it. Like a parrot. Go on reciting. But inside the heart, there is no difference. That's why we also pray every day morning to Sri Guru. Vando mui savadhanamate. We have to be extremely careful. Savadhan. Careful about everything what we do in Krishna consciousness. Because our automatic tendency is to make it very ritualistic. Every affair in Krishna consciousness. Yani kani cha papani brahma hatyadi kani. We are going around singing nicely. What does it mean? That Tulsi Maharani is so powerful. She is so powerful that just by circumambulating, you can even be absolved of brahma hatya. Imagine the power of just circumambulating the Tulsi Maharani. But do we believe it? The answer is we don't. But day in and day out, if sincerely, with great attention, care and absorption, if we keep on going through this process, one day the knowledge will be realized. Right now, we have this knowledge at a very intellectual level. It's not at a realized level. Vigyan. Gyan and Vigyan. So we have Gyan. We know it. This is what happens. But realized knowledge will come through proper execution of devotional service. So, to counteract all these four types of issues in our life as a sadhaka, we need a lot of strength. On our own strength, it is impossible. Actually, it is impossible to surmount such kind of difficulties. So easy. It is so easy to get attached to things unrelated to Krishna. It is so easy to blaspheme a Vaishnava. It is so easy. It is absolutely, you don't require any efforts. It's natural for us. To feel envious about other personality is very natural for us because that is what we have been doing millions of lifetimes. So it automatically comes up. To go against that tide, you require a lot of strength. As I say, bhakti is a process of swimming upstreams. You are swimming. So while swimming, upstream particularly, you have to struggle a lot. As soon as a devotee, if you ask, how are you? And he says, Prabhu, lot of struggle. You know that he is healthy. But somebody says, bliss, Prabhu. he may be actually in bliss. But you will start wondering, I need to be cautious about him. Little caution comes. So it's a upstream swimming. As soon as you stop struggling, you're already far away down the river. So you require strength for swimming upstreams. And that strength, that comes from Lord Balaram. So today is the day that we pray that please give me that strength. Ekaki amara nahi paya bala. I am alone, struggling. I have no strength at all. Ekaki amara nahi paya bala. Hari nama sankirtane. You have given me the greatest tools of spiritual realization, the holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. You have given me the greatest facility of association with the devotees. But I take all these things very lightly due to my past conditioning. Please give me the strength to be careful. Please give me the strength to go against all my attachments. It's not easy to give up all attachments. So therefore, today by trying to remember Lord Balaram on this very, very auspicious day of his appearance, it is said that on the appearance day of that personality, the personality actually incarnates in that day. As His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj says that deities come in various forms. Deities are in the form of wood, in the form of metal, in the form of a picture, in the form in the mind. And this Madhavati, these are deities in the form of time. These are time deities. That today is actually Lord Balaram present throughout the day with us. But of course, we still know that the process of taking shelter of Lord Balaram is still to the Parabrahma, because which he has established. He is the Adi Guru. He is giving us the way how to approach Lord Shri Krishna. Not directly, but through the Parampara system. So from Lord Balaram we understand, looking at the way he deals with Krishna, how enthusiastic he is to serve Lord Shri Krishna. Because enthusiasm is the actually first qualification of a devotee if he wants to be successful in Krishna consciousness. Utsaha, Nishchaya, Dhairya, Tat Tat Karma. So various six types of very good qualities are described for devotees to progress swiftly on the path of devotion. The first one, foremost one, is Utsaha. That means with lot of enthusiasm to serve Sri Krishna. And sometimes because of various reasons we may not have enthusiasm. Then we should pray for the enthusiasm. We should act enthusiastically so that Krishna is convinced that he wants enthusiasm and he'll give that enthusiasm. This is what Prabhupada would say. So Lord Balaram is so enthusiastic to serve Lord Sri Krishna, his younger brother. Of course, this is a beautiful reason, very wonderful reason why he becomes the elder brother. Because the same Lord Balaram comes as Lakshman, then he comes as Balaram, and then he comes as Nityananda Ram. So when he came as Ram, Lord Sri Krishna came as Ram, that time Balaram came as Lakshman. And at that time, because he was the younger brother, he had to undergo really lot of suffering. Ram and Lakshman were inseparable from each other. They're like one person in two bodies. So they were inseparable, and when Ram had to go to forest for exile, naturally Lakshman followed him. No one stopped him because there was no use stopping him. Everyone knew that he will go. Even Lord Ram couldn't stop him. And then he has to undergo such suffering that when that golden deer comes near the hut of Lord Ram, Sita looks at the deer and she says, I want that deer. So Lord Ram, to fulfill a stray desire which has come in her heart, okay, let me fulfill this. So Lord Ram goes, keeping Lakshman to guard. And very soon he kills Maricha. And Maricha shouts, Lakshman, please help me. So as soon as Sita hears this, Sita tells Lakshman, go. He is calling you, he is in danger. And Lakshman is very confident. He says, Ram cannot be in danger. This is the demon. He is calling out. So Sita at that time speaks the most harsh words he could ever imagine. He could never imagine this kind of words from Sita. She says, now I know why you are following us through this forest. All this show of devotion, everything, is only so that when Ram is killed, you can enjoy me. Sudden piercing arrow. It's impossible to bear this pain from a personality whom he served like mother. Impossible to bear. But he bears it. Then he says, whatever Lord Ram desires, that will happen. He goes, and I'm sure enough, she was kidnapped. And there Lord Ram is admonishing him. He says, why did you leave? You are such a useless servant. Both sides. Then all this happens, and somehow Ravan is killed and Sita has to be brought back. And Sita comes. And suddenly Lord Ram says, okay, I have won the battle. I have killed Ravana. My duty is over. Now you may go wherever you want. So Sita is broken. You fought this war for me. And suddenly you say that you can go wherever you want. So Lord Ram says, see, you have lived in somebody else's house. How will I know that you are so pure? And she says, even for a moment, if I have thought of any other personality, I will kill myself in the fire. So light a fire. Lakshman, come here. Start a fire. I will jump into the fire. So Lakshman refuses. He looks at Ram. Ram says, go ahead. It's very difficult. And he had to do this task. And then after many years, Lord Ram hears a rumor in the citizens, that some citizens are saying that what is the proof that Sita is pure? And he decides to banish her to the forest. Of course, this is Leela. But even for this difficult task, who was chosen? It was Lakshman. And Lakshman had to leave Sita in the forest and come back. So all the time, these painful experiences. So Lakshman desires transcendentally that next time I'll become the elder brother so that I can refuse. Then he becomes the elder brother as Lord Balaram. But so enthusiastic to serve the Lord that he is the only person who is actually serving Lord Sri Krishna in all the five rasas. When we are serving Krishna, there are various relationships which we develop with Krishna. So there is a relationship in neutrality, that means you are just existing there for the pleasure of Krishna. Then there is a relationship that is called a Shantaras. Then there is a relationship in the master-servant relationship, Dasyaras. Then there is friendship, Sakyaras. Then there is parental affection, Vatsalyaras. And then there is the conjugal, lover and the beloved. So all these five rasas, the devotees interact with Lord Sri Krishna. He is Rasa Bihari, he is Rasaraj. He is full in all these rasas, he enjoys. So to enhance his enjoyment, Balaram, he is so enthusiastic, he goes in every form. Every form he accepts. As the, in the Shantaras or neutrality, he takes the form of the shoes of the Lord, the clothes of the Lord, the bed of the Lord, the paraphernalia, jewels on the Lord's body, even the Dham, Vrindavan Dham, he expands himself into Vrindavan Dham. Such amazing. So much eager to serve the Lord that he takes form in every shape and giving continuous pleasure to Lord Sri Krishna. Then, in the Dasyaras, he sometimes, when Krishna is tired in the forest after herding cows or playing many, many games, they would play wonderful games. So Krishna would become tired. Or sometimes, after killing a demon, he would feel tired. And Balaram would fan him. He would massage his legs. Like this, even though as an elder brother. Then as a friend, as a cowherd boy, they would play wrestling. Wrestle with each other. Sometimes they would defeat each other. Beat each other. All transcendental pleasure. No quarrels. And sometimes, in the parental affection, Balaram would take the role of being the elder brother and protecting Lord Sri Krishna. He would give him advice, "Hey, today you don't go to Yamuna, there is a snake there. Kaliya is hiding there, you don't go there." Or he was concerned when Krishna suddenly he took up some dirt and ate it. So he'll become sick now. So he went and complained to Mother Yashoda that Krishna had dirt. This is all in parental affection, trying to protect. In fact, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda and Rohini, they told him, "You take care of this Krishna, he is very naughty. You be always around him." So Balaram would do that very dutifully as a parent. And in conjugal rasa, he actually becomes a different personality. He becomes Ananga Manjari, who is a younger sister of Srimati Radharani, just so that he can participate in the rasa dance and serve Radha and Krishna in various ways. So in this way we can see that Lord Balaram has such an enthusiasm to serve Sri Krishna in various ways. So we need to pray today that please give me that enthusiasm. I need that enthusiasm for devotional service. No matter how insignificant, sometimes we have this tendency that I will do only significant sevas. I am already a very senior personality, so only significant service. Don't call me for routine things. But what is Balaram teaching us? The most insignificant things, like giving shoes to the Lord or becoming the shoes of the Lord, he is accepting it very, very happily. So this is the relationship that Balaram has with Sri Krishna. In all the other rasas also, the predominant mood in Balaram is of servitude. He is showing us how to be a first class servant of Sri Krishna. And through his example, and through the example of his representatives, we know how to serve Krishna. So serving Krishna is first qualification, is actually to have that humility, to be enthusiastic to serve in the most insignificant way. Because it is our natural tendency. Now that we are going to take in the pastimes which will come, because this is also one of the obstacles, that to think that something is very insignificant and I am very significant is a big, big anartha in our heart. So in this way, when Balaram is giving us an example, it will be foolish on our part not to understand this example very carefully today. So as devotees, we may have different grades of realization and knowledge about how to serve Krishna. But still, particularly for myself, I am not a qualified person to talk about it. It's a realized knowledge. So we should take shelter of realized devotees to understand the importance of Lord Balaram in our life. Who is Lord Balaram? The Balaram Tattva, Vishnu Tattva. To understand him, we take shelter of the Acharyas. Sri Guru, Prabhupada, the Parampara, Goswamis. So one such personality who describes Lord Balaram in great, great detail is Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And he is a person who has actually achieved the mercy of Lord Balaram. So he is experienced. And he is talking to us, who is Lord Balaram. So we'll just go through that quickly. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adirila spends about 200 verses, more than 200 verses, just to describe who is Lord Balaram. Imagine. So how important it is. So he first describes that how this material world is existing. Beyond this material world, which is made up of the eight elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. Beyond this, coverings of all the eight elements, there is a river Viraja, and beyond that, there are the spiritual planets. And there is light, Brahma Jyoti, which is effulgence of Lord Sri Krishna's body. And in that light there are innumerable living entities who are taking shelter in that light. And within that light there are many planets, the Vaikuntha planets, where the same Lord in various name, with various names and various forms eternally resides with his very, very loving devotees. And within these, within the realm of these spiritual planets, there is one planetary system which is exclusive, which is the topmost, called as Golok Vrindavan. And in this Goloka, there is Dwarka, there is Mathura, and there is Vrindavan, and there is Navadvip. So various descriptions he gives. And there, Lord Sri Krishna resides with the cows, the gopis, Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, Rohini, all of them, they are residing eternally, enjoying very wonderful pastimes, which are beyond our understanding. A prakat lila, that is not manifested to us. That is manifested in the heart of pure devotees by realization. It is, whenever we hear lilas of Sri Krishna, we may have some kind of a visual impression of the lilas when it is being described, but that's not the lila. Actually, lila is realized from inside. When you chant the holy names, now this is very inconceivable. You chant the holy name, and just by taking that name, Krishna, the form, the holy places, the qualities, all the various pastimes, they simultaneously rise in the heart. Now how to handle this simultaneously? Now it is so many things happening, but you can even handle it. Now you have to ask somebody how to handle it, who has handled it. You can't ask somebody who is still struggling to chant one name properly. So the process is, take shelter of such people, chant as sincerely and attentively as possible, and one day it will be realized. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is one such perfected soul who is giving this very wonderful narrative of how Krishna, he expands into Balaram, and it's a long list of how Balaram actually is relevant to our day to day life. He gives all the shlokas, but I am not going to go to the details of those shlokas, nor I am going to tell you about, because we all know that Krishna, Balaram, they are the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Balaram is the Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead, Servant Godhead, or Godhead in servanthood. And then how he expands is Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, the source of all incarnations, like that. And then he is a source of Mahatattva, and he glances over the Mahatattva and produces all the living entities, the material planets. So all this is very inconceivable for our mind. And sometimes, you know, even with our great calculations, scientific understanding, we might figure out how it happens. I found out how it happens. When that feeling comes, we should understand we are in perfect illusion right now. Because it is impossible actually to find out. But sometimes we may get that feeling, arey mujhe samajh gaya abhi. Exactly kaise hota, I could understand it. It's a perfect illusion at that time. So he gives a very wonderful narrative of his own life. He says, how I received the mercy of Lord Balaram. So he says, and what happens with it? He's an example, living example of Lord Balaram's mercy. So he says, one should not describe one's own achievements, but nonetheless, for the sake of knowledge of devotees which will help them, I am writing this. That there was a devotee whose name was Minaketan Ramdas, who was a close associate of Nityananda Prabhu, who is Balaram. And Miniketan Namdas was so absorbed in the mood of Balaram and Nityananda that there, wherever he would go, he would fill the atmosphere with such ecstasy that people would start crying just by looking at him. And he would be continuously crying, chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So such was his effect that just by looking at him, people would feel like, I should also become like him. And they would start glorifying Lord Nityananda, looking at him, because he was Nityananda's associate. But Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the house in which he was staying, he comes from one village called Jhamatpur in the Bardhaman district of Bengal. So there, one day, Miniketan Ramdas came to his own house, where his brother would be staying. And looking at him, the devotees were chanting and very happy to receive him. He was spreading the glories of the holy name, Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya. But his brother, somehow he had an argument with Miniketan Ramdas, because his brother was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya. But he did not accept Lord Nityananda. So at that time, when Miniketan Ramdas left because of the, you can say, anguish felt by discussing with younger brother of Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami that he is not accepting Lord Nityananda, I should not stay here. So he left that place. And that, because he left, Krishnadas Kaviraj so felt so bad, so sad inside, that he actually chastised his brother, saying that you don't understand. You are accepting Lord Chaitanya, but not accepting Lord Nityananda is like a half chicken logic. Because they are the same person in two bodies. There absolutely there is no difference between Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, just as there is no difference between Krishna and Balaram. And then in anger, he left his house. So he left his house, he was sleeping in one village. Lord Nityananda came in dream and was very happy. Said, Krishnadas, I am very happy with you. The way you chastise your brother, I am very happy. Now I am telling you. Radha Gopinath ki. You go in this direction and you will reach Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, all the perfection of life which you are desiring will automatically happen. This is my blessing. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that I left at that moment. He didn't wait ki sabko bye bye bolunga. Nothing. I'll meet my relatives or distribute my property, nothing. At that moment, he started for Vrindavan. And he was very old at that time. He was not a young man. Very old. Even then, at old age, somehow he reached Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, he started associating with Raghunath Das Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, assimilated all the knowledge. Raghunath Das Goswami would daily describe the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya from the diaries of Swarup Damodar. And in this way, very soon, because of Lord Nityananda's mercy, all the Goswamis, they called Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who was in advanced age of almost 90 years old. At that time, Rup Sanatan and all the six Goswamis, they said, you are the most perfect candidate to write about the leelas of Lord Chaitanya. So you please write. And you can imagine at 90 you can't see properly, you might have cataract and so many things. There were, that time there was no surgery and I had intraocular lens implant, nothing like that. You were just in the village. Your hands are shaking. In that state, when he did not know whether he will live for a few months also. In fact, you can see if you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is a very authoritative scripture, on the most authentic scripture on Chaitanya Leela,
you will see that certain chapters, they suddenly start describing all the leelas which will happen in the future. And there he says, because I don't know whether I'll live. So he describes many leelas and then again describes the same leelas in the future chapters in more detail. Well, he was knowing that he may die anytime. In that state, he writes that it is simply a miracle that I am able to write this and I am able to understand leelas of Lord Chaitanya. So he says, this is all due to the mercy of Lord Nityananda, Lord Balaram. So he is a vivid example of how the strength or bala from Lord Balaram can make you amazing things. So, through his Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami's medium, we can see that Lord Balaram is extremely merciful to a sadhaka who is trying to progress on the path of devotion. In fact, for us, access to Krishna is impossible. We may think that I am chanting Hare Krishna, now I am a devotee for so many years, so I have access to Krishna. But that is illusion. Again, it's an illusion. Our access to Krishna is only through Balaram. Without Balaram, it is impossible to understand Krishna. So therefore, on this day, we need to continuously pray in our heart that let me get access to Lord Sri Krishna through Lord Balaram. And sure enough, he is very kind. He is very, very kind. He is always eager. If a devotee is in distress, it is Lord Balaram who will come to the rescue. One time, we were in Ekachakra Dham. And there, as soon as we arrived, all the devotees arrived. And I still remember our Sachinandan Maharaj. He was welcoming the devotees. And in his unique style, he was saying, my dear devotees, you have come. You have come, even if you are most hopeless, you have come to a place where there is a lot of hope. You have come to the Dham of Nityanand Prabhu, where there is hope for the most hopeless. A sadhaka may feel very hopeless, fighting against all these kind of unearthers. Who will come to the rescue? Lord Balaram, Lord Nityananda. One time the gopis, they were in Madhuvan near Krishna Kund. And they were suffering in the separation of Lord Sri Krishna. He had just left. And Balaram came. He saw they are suffering. So he started chanting glories of Krishna, chanting the holy names of Krishna, and chanted so eagerly, so much with absorption, that near that Krishna Kund, actually Balaram became Krishna. His color changed from white to blue. He was so much absorbed. This is absorption of Balaram. So he's teaching us how to be absorbed in Krishna's glories. So, as a sadhaka, he is our only shelter. Now we'll go to some pastimes. At what time you are supposed to stop? Kirtan starts at 10:30. So we have some 20 minutes. 25. Okay. Should we go on? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So now we'll go to some certain pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna. And wherever it ends at 10:30, we'll stop it. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami is describing. Yes, sir. Shukadeva Goswami is describing about the birth of Lord Balaram. Vasudeva and Devaki were in the prison. It was already foretold by the demigods to Kamsa that the eighth child of Devaki will kill Kamsa. And because of that fear, he wanted to kill Devaki, but because of Vasudeva's very intelligent preaching, she was saved, and ultimately both of them were in the prison. And one after another, six children were born. All of them were killed mercilessly by Kamsa. At the seventh pregnancy, Simultaneously, Rohini was also pregnant and Devaki was also pregnant. And because Rohini was pregnant, Vasudeva had sent her to Gokul, to his friend's house, Nanda Maharaj, where she was received very affectionately. And Yashoda and Rohini, they were staying with as great friends, just like two sisters. And Nanda Maharaj would take such wonderful care so that Rohini doesn't feel any absence of any protector. So when Devaki's seventh pregnancy came to the seventh month, that time, by the will and order of the Supreme Person of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna, Yoga Maya, she was told that now you transfer this particular child from Devaki's womb to Rohini's womb. And in the Harimamsa it is described that one day Rohini, she experienced a dream in which she felt that there was a miscarriage and she started crying. But Yoga Maya came and told, don't worry, the son of Devaki, who is Balaram, he is coming into your womb. So that's how, actually, Balaram was already existing in Rohini's womb. And then another Balaram, both of them merged together. And that's how, then very soon, on this day, the day of Purnima, Shravan Purnima, Lord Balaram was born in Gokul. And very soon, Lord Shri Krishna was born. But both of them, they did unlimited pastimes. Unlimited in the sense that not our understanding of unlimited. We really can't understand what is unlimited also. Problem. With limited understanding, we cannot understand what is unlimited for Krishna. When the acharyas say that, say for example, Vrindavan Das Thakur, he says that I cannot describe or even Shesha with his thousand hoods cannot describe pastimes which Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda perform in one moment. But how to understand this? It's totally inconceivable. Only realized soul, they understand what it means. We may repeat these statements, but understanding it thoroughly is only will come by realization. So they did unlimited pastimes every moment in Gokul, giving joy to all the Brajavasis. Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, amazing pastimes. They are growing day by day. And Nanda, Yashoda, they are very happy looking at that naughty pastimes. They are catching the tail of a calf and being dragged in the cow dung and the soft dust of Braja. Stealing butter, making children of the gopis cry, various things. And then, slowly, they enter the age called as Pauganda. That is 6 to 10 years of age. Now, we may say that, okay, Krishna and Balaram, they are performing lilas, but Balaram doesn't have many pastimes to be read in Srimad Bhagavatam. But if you see, because Balaram is everything in Krishna's relation, whether it is in Dasyaras, Sakhyaras, every rasa, so every leela of Krishna, Balaram is already there. But there are certain pastimes in which only Balaram is there. So it is said that Krishna kills all the demons except a few, which he leaves for Balaram. And very purposefully he leaves them for Balaram. There are various reasons for it. So one day, the cowherd boys, they are happily dancing around, playing, imitating the frogs, the deer, the peacocks, joking with each other, wrestling with each other, running to catch Krishna, making various sounds, killing various demons as a play. One day, the intimate friends of Lord Sri Krishna, Subal, Sridhama, Stoka Krishna, they approached Krishna and Balaram. They said, "You are so powerful. And we feel very little bit hungry now. We have played enough. Nearby there is a forest of Talavan. And in that Talavan, the ripened fruits of the Tala trees and many other trees. And you can smell, right now you can smell. This fragrance is coming up to here, and because of fragrance we are feeling more hungry. And you are very powerful. There is a demon there in the form of an ass. His name is Dhenuka. So why don't we go there? And we are sure that you will be able to deal with this Dhenuka." So immediately Krishna and Balaram, they are always eager to fulfill the desires of their coward friends, the devotees. The acharyas say that the devotees, actually they were not hungry. They wanted Krishna and Balaram to eat. But if they say, "You eat," then they will not eat. Therefore they made another petition that "We want to eat," then Krishna will definitely make arrangements. So Balaram and Krishna, they entered this forest which was guarded by the ass army. There was a big army of asses, all demons. They were so atrocious, cruel, so bad that not a single animal lived there. In any jungle, naturally there are rabbits, there are wolves, there are deers, there are tigers, but no animal could live there. Forget about animals. Even a bird could not fly over it. If the bird flew, they killed it. They just did not allow anyone else to come into that forest. So much of envy and so much of false identification with themselves that we are the complete proprietors and controllers of this area. And they were guarding this. This was a Kamsa's garden. So Balaram and Sri Krishna, who are actually the supreme lords, they are incarnated so that they can punish such miscreants. They entered. And Balaram, very playfully, he started shaking all the big trees. Sportingly, he didn't have to exert for it. He would just sometimes kick a tree, sometimes push a tree, sometimes pull the tree down and leave it like that. And so many fruits started falling, making big noise, tap, 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 tap. And as soon as, plus there was a noise of the coward boys, they were so happy that they were making different sounds. So as soon as Dhenuka heard this, he was so angry. "Somebody is challenging my authority." So he came challenging and he looked at Balaram. And Balaram was standing, and Balaram, he is known as Balaram because Gargacharya said, because he will take great pleasure in exhibiting his bala, the strength. He loves to do that. So he was exhibiting his strength, so he was happy about it. So he understood that this is the person who is creating the commotion. So Dhenuka came and kicked Balaram right in the chest with his hind legs. Hooves. And he was like a big mountain. So he was expecting that Balaram would instantly die and he would be crushed. But to his surprise and to the unlimited anger he got because of it, nothing happened to Balaram. Balaram just stood there as if nothing struck him. Then he went again, came with more speed, pushed him again, kicked him in the chest. Nothing happened to Balaram. So he became so angry that he started braying. Severely braying, frightening. So children are watching, the gopas are watching, what is happening? And he came charging and again kicked Balaram. So as soon as he kicked, Balaram, with his one hand, he took one of the hooves of the hind legs and just started twirling him around. And kept on twirling so fast that ultimately he just died in the air. He did not have to dash him. He died in the air because of that very, very strong centrifugal force. He just died there. And then he just threw him up in the tallest tala tree. And that tala tree fell down on all other trees. And it appeared as if some hurricane had passed, that all the trees fell down, one after another. Then all the other demons, they came and charged. And then Krishna and Balaram, sportingly, one after another, killed these demons of various colors of ashes. Some were brown, some were red, some were green. And they were all in the on the treetops. Sukadeva Goswami describes this very nicely. He says, it appeared as if there are various colors of clouds in the sky. And in this way, Dhenukasura was killed. And then in the evening, Balaram and Sri Krishna came to the Vrindavan habitation, Brajabhumi. All the gopis, elderly gopis, young gopis, all the gopas who are elderly gopas, they are all there to receive them. So happily playing on their flute, they are coming, covered with the dust which is raised by the hooves of the cows, and with little drops of perspiration on their faces, smiling faces, beautiful faces. So all the gopis and gopas and everyone is, all the devotees are so happy to look at them. And in the evening they are singing the glories of Lord Balaram, how he killed Dhenuka. It is said that the gopas, the cowherd boys, were so eager every day to play with Krishna and Balaram that sometimes they couldn't sleep at home. They just couldn't sleep because they were continuously, tomorrow what will happen? So eager. So they would come to sometime in the midnight, Krishna, wake up, we have to go. But it was midnight. Then Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they had to tell him, hey, go back. It's not dawn still. They're so eager. So they were all talking about Balaram's pastimes. Then there was another demon. One day he came. He was also a friend of Kamsa. So he came as a cowherd boy. One day one boy was probably sick or whatever, some reason he didn't come. So he took his form exactly looking like that cowherd boy. And he came and started playing. And Krishna is a super soul in everyone's heart. Balaram is super. Krishna recognized. Of course, Balaram did not recognize. Balaram sometimes gets bewildered. Krishna also sometimes gets bewildered. This is also their pastime, that the unlimited Lord with unlimited intelligence can become limited. And after becoming limited, again he can understand with his unlimited understand that he had become limited. This is achintya. So Krishna understood that this coward boy is not a regular one. He is a demon. So then how to kill him now? So he found out. Let's play a game. So they decided to wrestle with each other. They made two parties. So one party, Krishna was the captain. And another party, Balaram was the captain. And they decided, whoever loses, they will have to carry the winner party on their shoulders. And here, Balaram and his party won. So immediately, different. Krishna had to take Sridhama on his shoulder. And Sridhama and Krishna, they are running like horse. And then Pralamba took Balaram. And while they are going, Pralambasur, he understood actually Krishna is very powerful. So first I should deal with Balaram. So he took Balaram little away from the regular path. And Balaram is wondering, where is he taking me? And suddenly, Balaram understood he is not taking me to the right place. So Balaram started increasing his weight. And Balaram is his guru, is the heaviest. He can become heavier than the whole universe. He became heavy like a big mountain. And that small boy, his back started breaking, so he couldn't carry him. So ultimately, suddenly he said, he came in a big form, his original form, as Pralambasura. And Balaram is looking at it, are, what happened? This person has suddenly changed in every way. Who is this? And he looks at it, it's a Pralambasura, the big demon. He is so huge. His helmet was touching the sky, the clouds. And then Balaram, with a very swift movement of his fist, he struck his collarbone. Some say this, he struck his scalp. And within one blow, the scalp, the head ripped open. And all that brain substance, everything came out. And Pralambasura died. So these two demons, one after another, were killed by Balaram. Now, this is a very wonderful pastime to hear and read Krishna book. When you read, even if you read repeatedly, it always gives you joy, isn't it? It's wonderful to read. So you can enjoy like that also. Just hearing the Leela is very enjoyable, very purifying. But sometimes the acharyas, they give us more deeper understanding of these pastimes. So sometimes we can go deeper, sometimes we can just go through the pastime and enjoy the pastimes for our purification. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he tells that there is various demons killed by Krishna and Balaram. They represent various anarthas on the path of devotional service. What is anartha? Anartha is basically a desire which is not desirable. We don't want that desire, but it is there. It is stuck with us. It is a great struggle to remove it. And funny part is that we don't even know which anarthas are sitting inside. Sometimes people say, abhi sab kuch clear ho gaya hai. And suddenly, with a greater force, many more will come in. And you, oh, where were they? Because bhakti is a process of continuous purification. Cheto darpana marjanam. The more you rub, clean it, the more layers will come out. Burijan Prabhu, I was really surprised at his comparison. In his Japa book, he writes, imagine a mirror with 30 kilometers of dust. Now this is, I had imagined actually previously, a mirror with dust, I had imagined that dust is there and I am cleaning it. But 30 kilometers of dust. This is what the dust is actually accumulated. So much dust. So newer and newer dust comes out. So these anarthas are coming out. What is this anartha which is represented by Dhenukasura and Pralambasura? They are in sequence. So Dhenukasura, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that it represents gross materialistic intelligence. Gross materialistic intelligence means acquiring a lot of knowledge just as a matter of scholarship, even of scriptures. Just to acquire more and more and more and more knowledge without Krishna in the center, without understanding that actually Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He is the goal of my life. Accept that understanding, you just accept a lot of knowledge. And because of that, a propensity of being a complete controller and enjoyer, a competitor of Supreme Person of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who is the foremost and supermost enjoyer. Bhoktaram yagyatapasam, sarva lokam maheshwaram. That is the definition of Krishna. He is actually an enjoyer of all material and spiritual worlds. And somebody wants to compete, a tiny living entity wants to compete with him. How is it possible? But nonetheless, this anartha is so strong that we foolishly in complete illusion, think that we are the controller, proprietor and enjoyer of anything that we survey, including our body, including our house, the relatives, everything, aham mameti, whatever belongs to us, whatever we can survey. So that is gross materialistic intelligence. So Krishna actually takes away all anarthas, and this he keeps for you. You means Krishna doesn't annihilate it. Balram, Guru has to come and annihilate this. By doing service to Sri Guru, very sincerely, very attentively, in a submissive, obedient manner, Sri Guru can destroy this materialistic intelligence. Sri Guru can make you very humble. Even though you might be doing great service to Sri Guru, still he can chastise you. One day in Mumbai, Srila Prabhupada is sitting in his room, and in the morning the sun is coming. When the sun rays, a beam comes. You can see in the beam that there are various particles. They are just floating. Have you seen that? In the sun beam you can see various particles floating, millions of particles. So Prabhupada is relaxed and he is saying to Tamal Krishna Maharaj that, you see these particles, this is how the universes are there. There are millions of universes which are like tiny mustard seeds. And that is only of the material world. And beyond that, three-fourth is our material concept. Unlimitedly bigger is the spiritual world. And there are unlimited spiritual personalities, highly advanced, dear devotees of Sri Krishna and all the other Narayan forms. They are residing there. And out of this one particle, one galaxy, one universe, and there is one small dot on that is Earth planet. On that Earth planet, there is a small continent called as Asia. And in that Asia, there is India. And in that India, there is an absolutely unmeasurable particle called as Mumbai. And in that Mumbai, there is a small land and a small temple. And there is Tamal Krishna who is thinking he is very important. So this is only Guru can do this. He can crush in spite of all your services. So gross materialistic intelligence actually makes us completely foolish. That's why he is described as ass. The ass demon represents a foolish personality. The grossly materialistic intelligence is of that of an ass. But somehow we come to Krishna consciousness, we overcome this, we start knowing, at least we have the knowledge, and we start practicing devotional service. Then this intelligence, the gross materialistic intelligence, takes a subtle form. Subtle form that is represented by Pralambasura. So Pralambasura represents a lusty inclination. The gross materialistic intelligence, you are grossly lusty. But here, it is not so gross. It is, you look like a devotee. I mean, it's like Pralambasura is faking like a devotee. He's actually a fake devotee. So you look like a devotee, you act like a devotee, but inside the heart, there is a lusty inclination away from Krishna. And that lusty inclination takes the form. What is the form taken? The form of wanting to be important. Wanting to get a lot of honor, profit, distinction, adoration. This form is taken and that is represented by Pralambasura. So externally, we might still look like a devotee. People may praise you, you are a wonderful devotee. Your tilak may be perfect. Your chanting may be looking perfect. But inside the heart, why are we chanting so nicely? So that people can recognize that, oh, how nicely you chant. How great devotee you are. It's a very, very dangerous thing. Prabhupada, all the acharyas, they warn us that we should be extremely careful from faking devotional service. And when we do that at the shelter of Sri Guru, then he recognizes from time to time this inclination in our heart. And as Balaram, as representative of Balaram, Sri Guru will destroy it by his mercy with one powerful fist. So this is how we can relate the stories of Dhenukasura and Pralambasura. In the evening we may hear from Shyamananda Prabhu more stories. There are various pastimes, we can go on like this. But now we will end praying at the lotus feet of Lord Balaram and all his representatives, the Guru Parampara and all the Vaishnavas, that we may get the strength to actually conquer over these two anarthas, the subtle sex desire manifested as profit, distinction, adoration, pratishtha. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says that pratishtha is a sukarera vishta. It is very abominable to a devotee. How to surmount this? And the gross materialistic intelligence. Sometimes we become very gross, even as devotees. We feel that there is part of my life which is a devotee, and there is other part which is grossly materialistic, and we keep them away. But that is a big obstacle in devotional service. We should merge the two. We should make 24 hours of our life fully dedicated, fully in alignment with Lord Balaram's desire of serving Sri Krishna. In this way, if we pray today by chanting the holy names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, then one day, surely, just like Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami attained perfection of his life by following Lord Nityananda's advice, taking shelter of Balaram, we will also achieve that success which we are all longing for, to achieve Krishna Prem. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Thank you very much for your patient listening, and please excuse me if I have said something which is beyond my understanding. Thank you. Hare Krishna.